Welcome to Chat and Flicks, the movie and TV podcast. I'm your host, Carl Pierce, and today with us we have Richard Aylham.
Hello.
And today's episode, we are talking about what we've been watching recently, and we've got a lot to watch. And this seems to be a common theme in our episodes recently, because we tend to not do one for ages.
Recently?
Yeah.
Within the last year.
Well, yeah. So, today we're talking about what we've been watching, and Richard's going to kick us off. We're going to do about between 300 and 500
things. Carl wants to do 3, I wanted to do 500, so we're going to do a happy medium of more than 3, but less than 500.
Sounds good. Let's do it. So, Richard, kick us
right,
off.
Right, I'm going to start with the best thing I think that I've seen for a long time. And it's one of the few things that's made me want to watch the next one and just binge as much as possible. And that's Unforgotten, which is, I think, on ITV. I'm not sure. I might be wrong there. But I was a bit sceptical when I saw the cast. It's got Nicola Walker in it, who a lot of people will recognise. She's been in a couple of more things recently.
Oh, yeah.
Police. I think she's in Annika, with it, which is another police drama. But it's also, the other main character is Sanjeev Bhaskar. And that's where I thought, oh, it's a comedian playing a straight role. It's going to be naff. And you know what? He's absolutely brilliant. He is. He doesn't try any comedy. And I think that that's the way a lot of these comedians who go into straight roles should do. They should just forget about their past, or unless it's necessary. But he's really, really good in it. So basically, it's the two of them heading a police department, where a small team of people who they stumble across crimes, and turns out to be cold cases from like decades ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago. But what I really like about it, so that's sort of like that could be very generic to many, many other things. But what I like about it is when we see the body being unearthed, which we do in the first 5 minutes, the rest of episode one, we start to see about half a dozen other characters, and they are all somehow linked. Now they'll either be linked to each other, linked to the murder. Obviously one of them is going to be the murder, that's obvious, you know, no spoilers there. But that they're somehow all linked, and you spend trying to figure out why are they linked, how are they linked, who's the killer, and it's just quite refreshing the way they do it, because you've got no idea, there's no hint until you're about halfway through, or even maybe near the end of each season, as we call it now, what's going on.
Series,
because it's UK, isn't it? So I would definitely recommend, if you want something where, you know, it's just like at the end of the day, so many things you watch and you think, oh, thank goodness that's over. And then you're kind of watching it for the sake of watching it. And I have done with a lot of things. Or we've just not revisited them. Dare I say that we've not finished The Last of Us. But that's another story. I know.
You need to.
And we've probably only got one to go, you know. But anyway, so Unforgotten, I'm sure it's on ITVX. Really, really recommended. I'm pretty sure. Let's have a quick look at it. Okay, so on IMDb it says 2015, and it doesn't give an end date, so they must be redoing some more. 31 episodes in total. Let's just have a quick nosy if there's any coming out. Yeah, there should be some. Season 6, Series 6 should be coming out soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just refreshing. And what I also like about the team that she runs is they all pull their weight. There's no stragglers. There's no typical. A lot of the time when we have police dramas, and I'm okay to say this, the fatty one, because I'm fatty, the fatty one is useless. A lot of the time.
Yeah, incompetent.
The young, there'll be a naive young female officer, and it just. No, they're all brilliant. They all have got something to bring to the table within that police environment team. So it's getting away from like that typical thing that we're used to. So yeah, I'm liking that.
Where are you up to with that? Sorry, you might have mentioned
all finished oh, really everything. All, yeah, all couldn't get enough of them. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And how long are the episodes? Are they an hour long? Like 40 odd minutes long, are they? Or?
I think with ITV, they throw the adverts in there, don't they?
That's the only thing.
45 minutes, but then adverts on top, it'll be.
Yeah. So you're looking forward to when that comes out next time?
Yes, yep, enjoyed it.
Excellent. Good, good.
What about you?
Right, well, my first one's quite a biggie. We've been watching this TV series since about Christmas. And I've spoken about it before, so it's Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Have you seen this? Have you?
No. It's comedy though, isn't it?
It is a comedy. So I'll tell you behind it. So basically, when overnight, we end up putting all our washing on the bed, and we've started doing this because
it's a hobby.
Now it makes us put it away. So before we go to bed, we put the washing away, right? Like, you know, because otherwise it just piles up and then just gets lost.
It's like I do the same with car parts.
Put them on your bed.
Yeah. Makes me stuff. Do something with them.
So we always have a program that we watch. So the last one we're watching was Community, and we finished Community. Fantastic. So then we were after something else, and Schitt's Creek is what we're watching since about Christmas time. I think it was January time. There's, I think it's three or four series. Oh, no, it's more than that. It's about six series, half an hour episode, like 20 odd minutes. Mm. And it is brilliant, and I can't stress how good it is. Now, it's not the funniest thing in the world. And like a lot of these things, you know, the comedy's there because of the characters. But what I love about it so much is you are invested in these characters' lives. So it tells the story of the Rose family. Johnny Rose is the dad. Moira is the mum. Then you've got the two, son and daughter, is David and, oh my God, I can't remember her name. Alexis. And basically they're this rich, wealthy family who somehow get embezzled, so they lose all the money basically, and they lose all the mansion, lose all the money, all the cars, everything basically. But it turns out that they own this little town in America, this small town. It does say where it is, but I'm not sure where it is, but it's like a sort of roughneck area called Schitt's Creek. And it's all, you know, all the hicks and hillbillies and all that sort of thing, and they basically own this town. So they move to a motel within the town. And it's about them adapting to this country life. David is very flamboyant. He's bisexual, but, and I'll come back to that in a second. Alexis is very like the sort of it girl. She's dated loads of, you know, boys, famous people, and that sort of thing. Moira is an ex-actress who was on a TV soap. Was very successful at it, but obviously wasn't like, you know, a massive movie star. And the dad, Johnny, he owned a chain of VHS rental stores, and that's how they made their money basically. So, and it's the story of them adapting to the life and you know, coming up against, you know, normal hicks, if you like, you know, inverted commas, you know, the poor people, if you want to call them that. And it is funny, and there are funny moments, and the comedy comes from the dialogue and things like that. But really what's great about this series is the characters. You are so invested in the characters. By the end of series six, you want so much for these characters. Like, to start with, they're a bit, you know, the knobheads, you know, the rich, and they're a bit embarrassed to be in the town, and, you know, they're trying to save face. But by the end of, like, you know, the six series, whatever it is, they're invested in the town. They, you know, they are part of it. They've got friends, they've got businesses and all this sort of thing. And it is like seeing the journey of, you know, from where they were at the start. And I think it's like 3 or 4 years, but it's like six series. It's brilliant. I'm going back now. There's a couple of standouts. So Eugene Levy is the main sort of main name. He's the writer as well, creator, with Dan Levy, who's his son. Mm. And they play the son and dad team in it. So Eugene Levy, he's brilliant anyway. Yeah, he's fantastic. But Dan Levy, who plays David, he's the son. As I say, he plays this flamboyant character, you know, he's very much into his fashion, into his what can you call it, like the social side of it. And as I say, now they don't say this in the show, but he is bisexual. So there's all, you know, because he's very, very flamboyant, you do think, oh, he must be gay, so we're going to get a gay storyline. And we do, but not the way you think. So there was an episode where he sleeps with a woman, and they end up being really good friends, not spoiling too much. And the only way that Tamley addressed that he's bisexual is that they have this conversation about wine, and he, like, they're in the shop, and he, like, she says, so what's up with you? Like, meaning, like, the sexuality. And he says, well, sometimes I like white wine, and sometimes like red wine.
Right.
Sometimes like rosé. And it's like, okay. And that's the only time, really, it's that issue is addressed. And without going into it, he does get a partner near at the end. There is a wedding in there. But what I really like about it and think is really refreshing is that you've got a gay character there, or bisexual character, and there's no homophobia at all. They don't have to deal with any stigma.
Yeah,
they don't have to deal with any homophobic, you know, characters in the show.
It's just accepted.
Everyone in that town, he's gay, yeah, it's fine, yeah. Or he's bisexual, yeah. That's just a normal relationship. And it's so refreshing, because when you see a lot of gay relationships in soaps or in comedies, it's all about, oh yeah, they've been persecuted, they've had a really hard life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and rightly so, that's got its time and place. But with this, he's had a great life, all right. You know, he's had tough times, but it's not because he's bisexual or gay, because of the life he's had. And it's really highlighted that having a bisexual relationship is normal. We even watched the show after it, so, like, you know, when it did finish after series 6, they do like a celebration show, if you like, so a behind the scenes thing. And I didn't realise this, but it was such a big thing towards the LGBTQ plus community because of that reason, that it's very, very normalised. And I'd said to Lorna when we were watching it, and I said, like, it's nice to see that it's just that's a gay relationship, or it's just a relationship. It's a normal relationship, you know. It's not got the stigma, in inverted commas, of being a gay relationship. You know, it's not got that those problems or any homophobia or anything like that. It's just that's two people who love each other and you know, and get married. So in terms of, like, the character development and the story, you know, the story's not going to set the world alight. It's fish out of water, but it's the characters and the character development, and you can tell the people in this show really, really like each other. Catherine O'Hara plays the mum, Moira. Yeah. So she's an ex-actress, soap actress in America, and the way she speaks, like, the inflections in her voice are hilarious, and like, she says things like, instead of saying baby, she'll say bebe. And it's just, you know, little things like that. Like, she's so pretentious, but as I say, these characters, you fall in love with them. They're all brilliant, and you all love them. Alexis, she's very vain, very sort of superficial at first, and then she grows as a character, and, you know, you come to know, you see her heart, and you see her, like, you know, she is actually, like, a kind, loving person. I can't recommend Schitt's Creek enough. It is brilliant. It's so good. I don't know if Dan Levy was the writer, but he was definitely one of the creators with Eugene Levy. Eugene Levy, they're the creators.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brilliant. It's their show, but it's not just about them.
Yeah.
Though they are. You can tell, like, that it's well written, it's well acted. You know, it's fantastic. It's definitely, definitely worth a watch. If, you know, 20 minutes here and there, definitely, definitely worth it. So is this something you're going to see, you're going
to
watch?
I reckon it'll be one of those that eventually we'll get around to. There's so many things, like, I mean, I don't even know if we finished Community. I'm pretty sure we didn't. And I'm trying to think if I was out of Uslot the first one to start watching it. I don't know, maybe. Can't remember. But that's another one. I know people talk about Modern Family. I think, did Harry talk about Modern Family in the past?
Yeah.
And there's a couple of things that are constantly mentioned or constantly be thrown up, or a lot of the time if like Channel 4 have bought it, it'll tend to be they'll like vet all. I mean, there's so many things in America that they're just churning out comedies that aren't comedies, and I think a lot of the time if they're bought by something English to broadcast or whatever, it's generally quite good.
I don't know if she. I mean, I'm assuming Schitt's Creek's been on telly, but I haven't seen it.
I've got a feeling it's Channel 4.
It's definitely
or E4 or one of those things.
It's definitely been on Netflix, and I wonder whether the last series was Netflix made. I don't know, to be honest. But yeah, definitely worth a watch. It's just really nice, you know. And as I say, it's not hilarious, but you grow to love these characters.
Yeah.
And it's not too outlandish, you know. It looks like it could happen. That sort of thing could happen, basically. And there's nothing mad that happens, you know. There's no mad accidents or, you know, awful, you know, catastrophes. Mm-mm. It's just them living in a motel for a couple of years trying to get by. Really good.
Yeah.
Okay, what have we got next?
Bit of a comedy. I think it's on iPlayer, BBC. The Outlaws. Now, the thing sold this was the fact that Christopher Walken was on it, and it's bizarre because, like, you got this big Hollywood, and doesn't he never say no to anything that his agent gets him or something like that?
Oh, really?
I'm sure somebody said that. But and he's just in this reasonably okay, not huge, not American series over here in Blighty. So we've got seven people from different walks of life who've come together, and they're basically doing community service. So we've got a very, very able Oxford-bound girl who's basically started nicking things, a disgraced company director, and then there's a guy who's in gangs, unfortunately. There's somebody who's there's an it girl who's at social media, and I think she's got drunk and crashed a car or something like that. Stephen Merchant's in it, but he's also done some of the writing. Of course, we've got Christopher Walken in it as well. I can't remember why he's doing the community service. I remember he's got a tag on his ankle.
Yeah.
Is it a tag?
Yeah,
you know, don't you? the Stephen Merchant character, he's an accountant too, again. So basically, they're just all from just different walks of life, and they've all got their baggage. There's sort of like reasons why they committed crimes and stuff like that. But not crimes, it's generally like a one-off.
Yeah.
But it's just an easy watch. And stories sort of like unfold itself. It can get a little bit... It can be very funny, but it can also be a little bit, oh gosh, this is getting a little... You know, somebody gets shot and... somebody gets knifed, and it covers all sorts apart from horror. I reckon there's romance in it. It just covers absolutely everything, and it can be quite graphic as well. The probation officer, or the person who sort of looks after them while they're doing their community service, she's a wannabe police. She keeps talking about that she's in the police, but she's not in the police. She's basically a community service officer, if you like. I wonder where they were going with it. The first season, basically, they find a gun, and they've got to try and hide the gun because the gun's been used in a crime and stuff like that. And then now they're sort of like, they're developing it, but we've got to the stage now where they need to make a lot of money, so they start almost like a drugs ring, and it's like, this is a bit of unusual viewing, but I'm sticking at it because it still is funny. You can kind of see and like you say with Schitt's Creek, that you start to get invested in the characters, because the guy who's running a company with his dad, who's a bit disgraced, you'll recognise him.
Go on, let's see.
Darren Boyd, he was in Green Wing as one of the doctors.
Smack the Pony as well.
He's homophobic, but he doesn't mean to be, but do you know what I mean? He says in one thing, I'm a certain age, I'm a white, I don't mean to do this, I don't want to come across as this. If I accidentally brush against you in the corridor, it's not that I'm being, you know, and he sort of like lays his heart on the line at one point. And you start seeing that these people have got a lot of baggage, but they want to better themselves, and they want to not be seen as this guy, homophobic. But also we get a lot of nice relationships between them that are sort of starting. Not a will they, won't they. It's not like cheesy like that. But a really nice relationship between him and I don't know why she's in again, but I've got to say she's a black woman, because he's meant to be the homophobic one. But they're constantly at each other's necks at the start of it. And they're always assuming that So she's assuming that because he's white and he might slip up every now and again that he's like mega racist. And he basically says to her, you've always got your barrier up and you always assume everybody's racist. And they start to mellow and they start to understand each other and they start to realise, you know what, I get it. I understand why you're seen as this and they understand why they're seen as that. And then they become a bit more friendly to each other. And it's nice to see that develop. The It Girl gets a bit of a relationship with Stephen Merchant. Now, Stephen Merchant's what, about 7 foot tall?
Massive.
He always plays a bit of a goofy character, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And again, in this, he's awkward. And then you got this It Girl who's always tweeting things. So she's tweeting or hashtagging or TikToking about her community service.
Definite
and, you know,
things, by the way.
Paying back to the community. And he's this very awkward person. And they sort of start hitting it off as well. It's not just like all romance and stuff like that, but then there's more things that we find out, and it just builds the characters as it goes along. I don't know if they meant to at the beginning, or like I say, you know, we've got to the stage now where they're running drugs for one of the drug dealers, but still with a bit of comedy. But I don't know if I condone that type of thing. Really.
Is it a bit of black comedy? Is it?
Like, yeah.
Because I thought it was like not like slapstick, but sort of a bit more light-hearted comedy, but it sounds like it's not. It sounds like it's a bit dark. Which
is,
you know.
Yeah,
I've heard it's good though.
Yeah, we'll keep watching it. It's you gotta pay attention, but you can just sort of like sit along and take it all in.
Yeah.
And then they've just had a demonstration, and the community support officer was offered some brownies.
Interesting.
And then the television cameras come along to see what they're doing, and she's in the background like talking to a bollard saying, well, have you lost your mom has anybody seen this child? Christopher Walken doesn't do much in it, but he's Christopher Walken,
but he's there, he's his name, isn't he?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's made by BBC and HBO, because when they tend to do something together, they tend to have like a
somebody big.
Yeah. Like they've done episodes. Remember that episode with Matt LeBlanc and all them American actors. So very similar in terms of like you've got this big name and a load of like British actors.
It's also got Barristan Selby, is it, from Game of Thrones? Ian McKinney.
Yeah.
The dad of the guy who's running a business, but basically the dad's not that nice to him, but he hasn't had his life handed to him on a silver plate. He's still got to work for it, and he feels a little bit hard done to that his dad hasn't helped out a bit more. It keeps going on and meandering around all over the place, and I'm quite happy for it to do that. We're going to stick at that.
Have you, and I hope it doesn't spoil something, but have you heard about the very last episode?
No.
Anything about it at all?
No, but...
Oh, I want to tell you, I don't know if it'll spoil the plot.
It possibly would, with it being the last episode.
No, I think it's like a little fact thing.
Right. Oh. Well, I'll tell you what, tell me, and if it spoils it, we'll edit it out.
So forget it.
Shall
I tell you
another? Go on then, yeah.
So... Because apparently they're painting a wall or something, aren't they? Or community centre or something like that, isn't it?
Yes.
So, in the last episode, there's a picture which looks like a Banksy.
Right.
Have you seen that up to
now? Hang on, no, that rings a bell.
Okay.
No, that's come and gone.
Yeah. Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, apparently...
She just said, no, you got to put... That's sort of like...
And they paint over
quite early on.
Oh, was it? Oh, there you go. Well, apparently that's an actual real Banksy.
Right.
So Banksy apparently done that. For the show. So it's a real Banksy that they had to paint over.
Ooh, it'll be worth more money.
Yeah. He loves all that, doesn't he, Banksy?
Yes, yeah.
Don't you, Banksy? Because we know you're listening. Because we know who he is. We know him.
Is he Scouse?
No, he's not Scouse.
Is he not?
No, he has been clipped, I think.
Has he? Right, what have you got?
Oh, my next one. Oh, this is a biggie. Right, so... I'm sorry, this is going to be the episode... superhero one. I won't mention any more superhero things apart from this. So Sunday, me and the kids and Lorna went and seen the new Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
cartoon animated. I shouldn't say cartoon.
No, it's a cartoon. It definitely is a cartoon. Animated. It's the sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Mm. It tells a story of Miles Morales, who is a young... Now, where's he? Is he Puerto Rican? I think he's Puerto Rican of origin. Living in New York, sees Spider-Man get killed. He ends up getting bit by a spider and becomes basically the new Spider-Man. Mm. Turns out that there are other Spider-Men and Spider-People in different universes.
We know that from the first one.
This is from the first one, yeah. So we get Gwen Stacy, who's... She's now called Ghost Spider, but in this film, she's not called that anymore. She's called Spider-Woman. Mm. There's a Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham.
Half-pig. So he's bitten by a radioactive pig.
Right.
And there's all different versions of it. So
would he not be called Ham-Man?
Apparently not.
Or Pig-Man.
But basically, it's all different iterations of Spider-Man. But the first one, Into the Spider-Verse... I think it did win the animation Oscar.
Mm.
It looked amazing. The animation style, like it's very stylistic. It looks hand-drawn and hand-painted and so on. So this second one is obviously carries on the story from the first one. And it turns out that there are even more multiple universes. And there's actually a secret society of Spider-Men and Spider-People, I should say, who are looking after the multiverse. And
right.
Gwen Stacy from the first one, she gets recruited into this society. Right, now I'm not going to say any more about the plot because I don't want to spoil it, but there's loads going on. And I'd probably be here for about an hour talking about the different plot lines. But basically, it's about all the different spider people and their little things. So Miles Morales is fighting with the... shame or sort of the guilt that he's lying to his parents that he's Spider-Man. He's been Spider-Man for a year in this, and so he's like, he's proper Spider-Man now. Gwen Stacy is fighting with the realization that her dad is a policeman and he thinks that Spider-Woman killed her friend Peter Parker, but obviously she didn't. Is there any more? Oh, and then you've got the older Spider-Man, who we know, Peter Parker. So there's loads of different Spider-Men anyway. And they've all got their own little things going off, right? So the story is very, very confusing. And there's a lot going on. Now, for a kids film, it's a PG. It took the kids. Our Christopher's 3. Thomas is 6. It's on for 2 hours, 20 minutes. It's not short.
Is it a kids film? Because we've said just because it's a PG.
It's not necessarily a kids film. So the reason we took Christopher was because we've been watching the Spider-Man cartoon on Disney. It's called Spidey and His Amazing Friends, and it's made for toddlers, you know, under five, let's say.
Sure.
And it's got all these characters in, so it's got normal Peter Parker Spider-Man, it's got Miles Morales Spider-Man, who's called Spin in the cartoon, and then Ghost Spider, who's Gwen Stacy. So they've took the characters from these films and made their own little cartoon with them, basically. So... he loves it. Our Christopher loves it. So that's why we took watching this, basically. Mm. And the two of them were watching it all the way through. It's 2.5 hours, near enough. And they were glued to it.
I thought you were going to say after half an hour, they were restless. Wow.
I mean, there are some dark themes. So, you know, they talk about death. You probably do see a few people getting killed, but like also the off-screen, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's where the PG element comes into it. And it was amazing.
Mm.
No pun intended, but it's a fantastic film. Now, just as I say, the story is dead confusing, and that's not the reason why it's good, though there's elements to it that are brilliant. I think Gwen Stacy's little arc is fantastic. But what makes this film amazing is the animation. This has took the first film and ramped it up to like a million, because there's moments in here, and every universe has got its own separate style.
So
Miles Morales is sort of like the most normal. It's sort of everything's characterised.
Yeah.
Then you've got Gwen Stacy, which looks a bit more neon and you know, very dark neon. Then you've got like there's like a Japanese futuristic one where it looks a bit like it's an anime, you know, Akira or Ghost in the Shell or something like that. But the bit where I watched it and was going, ooh, that's amazing, is Gwen Stacy's part, because there's bits where she's conflicting with her dad, you know, arguing over Spider-Woman, basically. And the background, it looks like it's painted, like watercolours, but it's painting as it's going along. So it's like the watercolours are like dripping down. Yeah. And then they'll say something and the emotion changes. So like they're arguing and then she'll go and hug him. And as she hugs him, that watercolour like sort of filters out. And I was just like, that, this animation is unbelievable. It's by far, and you think of like all the Pixar films I've seen, you think of all like the Disney films I've seen, it's by far the most like sort of eye-catching film I've ever seen, like animation style. And you know, I love all the anime, I love Ghost in the Shell, I love Akira. Akira's absolutely beautiful, for, you know, made in 1990. This, it just takes those ideas to another level. So
it's the ideas as well as the actual animation.
It's all in with it.
Set designers, if you know what you'd call it.
I don't know, like the theme, or I don't know, what would you call it? Like the sort of, I don't know, the feeling of the ambience of it, or
I don't know
what you call it in animation terms, but the sort of I was gonna keep going back to that Gwen Stacy bit. It just blew me away, where it was like this beautiful animation. And I'm sure it's nothing new, but I've never seen it in a mainstream superhero film. There's a part of it where you see literally millions of Spider people, different versions of Spider-Man. Apparently took 4 years to make this. These sections, and I'm like that, going, how have they done that? Every single one of them is its own individual spider person with their own individual animations, and they're doing this chase scene up this train, or not train, it's like a rocket, looks like a train, and it just looks amazing. It looks absolutely fantastic. So the story, it's good, it's confusing, and it leaves it open for the next one, because I hope it doesn't spoil it, but this is a two-parter. This is the first part to a two-parter. Yeah. So it is to be continued. Absolutely 100% go and see it, especially if you like the first one and you like Spider-Man, anyway, go and see it. There's so many Easter eggs. There's so many, you know, different characters. As I say, the animation looks amazing, and yet the story is good. You know, there's a few cliffhangers, there's a few twists and turns. IMDb at the moment, currently,
I was looking at that,
9.1. And I know what, I can't argue with that too much. I mean, it's definitely up there. I mean, 9.2 was The Godfather, wasn't it? Shawshank Redemption's 9.2. It's definitely up there towards the nines.
And it's an animated. It's weird, that.
It's an animated film. I mean, as we always say with these, I mean, it's only just come out, so these ratings always drop down. But it is definitely worth seeing. And, you know, everyone who's in it, you know, all the sort of voice actors are fantastic. I can't remember any of the characters, the actors' names, but like, you know, Hayley Steinfeld, she's like, I think she's quite famous as well. But yeah, it's fantastic. Definitely go and see it, especially if you like the first one. It is long, but it doesn't outstay its welcome, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If it's keeping two young kids engrossed
for two and a half hours, definitely.
It's like, I think it is the longest film they've seen, certainly in the pictures. And they were just like, watch it. And our Thomas said, I said, do you enjoy that film? And no. I went, oh, why not? And oh, because it's to be continued. That was the only reason. Like, oh, fair enough.
That's a good criticism.
That is a fair enough, yeah. So yeah, excellent. Right, any more?
On Now TV.
Now TV.
Succession.
Oh yeah, I've heard a lot about this.
Yeah, well, I don't know if a new season was released, but something made us look at it and think, oh, let's give it a go. And it's quite like, when I was looking at it, I thought, is this going to be a modern day Game of Thrones? And it kind of is, in that we've got Brian Cox we all know and love Brian Cox. He's not the scientist. No, all I can think of is Agamemnon in, what film was it? Was it Troy?
Oh, right.
I think he was the bad guy in Troy. So he's boss.
Sorry to interrupt. I always remember him being from X-Men. He was always he was in X-Men 2.
He in X-Men?
He was, I think, is it William Stryker? I think.
Yes, that's right.
He's in X-Men.
He was, so, I mean, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's really good. And he was the first Hannibal Lecter, of course.
He was.
So he is the boss man of the world's biggest multimedia corporate. It's basically the... Who was the massive global...
Oh, Murdoch.
Murdochs.
Yeah.
It's sort of like nodding its head towards that. I mean, they are... You can't get an idea of how rich they are. They take helicopters for you know, to get the shopping. Well, no, they don't get the shopping.
No, they don't have to.
Everything's done for them. So, you've got him and his
what his current wife, because his kids, and you know what, I'm trying to think, do we know what happened to his original wife? I can't remember. I think they're just divorced. I don't think there's any sort of weird, murky past.
Mm.
But we've got Kieran Culkin playing one of his sons. Now, this is the son who really doesn't care. He doesn't care what he does. He doesn't care what he says, but not in a flippant way, just sort of like in a jokey way. So he's the jokey son. And it's described as a comedy as well as all the other things. So we've got Kieran Culkin. We have got Matthew McFadden. Now, he's the... You know, Matthew McFadden.
Yeah.
He is the boyfriend of the daughter. The daughter is played by Sarah Snook, who's probably the most normal person. She's like a bit of a proper business person, the most likely to take over, but because she's a woman, unfortunately, I'm in air quotes, if you know what I mean, the most likely to take over is the eldest son called Kendall Roy, who's played by Jeremy Strong. Sorry, I don't think he's the eldest. But he's the businessman. He's going to take over.
Yeah, he's the heir. He's the heir to it.
Definitely. Now, the eldest son, I think, is played by Alan Ruck, who was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But
oh, yeah.
He's not really interested. He's like aside. So anyway, that's the family. We've got the four kids, and basically in the first episode. Brian Cox's character decides to have a brain hemorrhage or something like that, and it's like, oh my god, what's going to happen? The shares are plummeting. It's, oh god, who's going to take over? Well, I should take over. Well, I think I should take. And it's like, what are we going to do? Dad wanted me to do this, and no spoilies. He makes a recovery, but it's like a bit. Well, what's going on here? Is he making a full recovery? And it's the trials and tribulations of that, and how it's basically then screwed them up, because they were all at each other's throats about what we're going to do if Dad doesn't pull through. We've also got Nicholas Braun, who plays the character Greg. Now, he's the most normal person. He's a distant cousin, I think, and he's the you and me. He's the person who's come from a normal background. He's just after a job, and basically when the dad goes into hospital, he's caught up in it all, and he's trying to do what he wants, and people are trying to get him to do right. There's something in a safe. I want you to go home. Here's the safe company. I want you to burn everything in that safe. But what he does is he takes copies of the main form, and he says, oh, I've done that for it. But yeah, it's really clever. And I'm starting to now, it's a little bit like Unforgotten. It's like, this is really intriguing. Where's it going and stuff like that? So we're getting to the bit now. I don't want to say too many spoilies. So what else can I say without spoilies? A bit difficult, really. I don't think I can say anything interesting without spoilies. Something happens to one of the main characters.
No way. Something happens to the main character?
Yeah, no spoilies there. Let me have a think. What can I say? One of the main characters causes a death. And then you sort of like see, well, we can cover that up because of the people we know. And it's like, ooh.
Very interesting.
Are they going to do it? Are they going to come clean? But then there's also a lot of manipulation going on. Well, if you drop that, I'll cover it up, type of thing. I'm not going to say who's covering it up for what. So this is where I'm being very cautious with what I say. We've got a lot of sort of secretive conversations going on. Well, I'm going to let you do this. But what I think they're trying to say at the very beginning, in the very first episode, is that every single decision they make costs billions in the company shares.
Mm.
And, you know, if they tweak something, the share price could go rocketing up or it could plummet. So they can't be normal. It's almost like the royal family, but worse because of the financial implications that any of them do. But Kieran Culkin character. He'll. I don't. This is so crude. They're in a large building. They're in a skyscraper, and he goes to the window, pulls his pants down, and starts jacking up.
Nice.
And it's like he just doesn't care. One of the characters gets into drugs, There's so much going on, and this is the analogy, sort of like I thought, is this going to be a new Game of Thrones in that there's lots of things going on, there's lots of secret camps going on, there's lots of people plotting against other people, there's lots of like Littlefinger, you know, he's playing both sides, it's really good. So I hope, I don't know where we're up to. I've got a feeling that it may have finished. I think the reason why all of the publicity is because it's possibly finished. IMDb says it's finished this year.
Oh, there you go then. So how many series is there?
Only four. But yeah, if you got Now TV, get watching it.
I do. My friend let me use his account on Now TV. Yeah, yeah. My friend.
Do you watch it on PlayStation?
I do. Yeah.
Well, now we know who that is. Got it. Yeah. Right.
So yeah, I'll have to give that a go eventually when we get around to it.
Well, this is it. So now there's a lot of decent things coming out.
Yeah. Well, speaking of decent things, maybe less decent things. We watched Extraction on Netflix. Now, have you seen this?
You know what? I don't know. I've seen the picture of it that many times.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have.
Well, so I might have. It's a Netflix production or whatever from 2020. Chris Hemsworth plays a mercenary who gets a job to go and save, or he's doing a deal between these two rival drug gangs. One of the drug gangs has kidnapped the other drug gang's son, and so he's tasked with going and dealing with the ransom and basically get the kid back. Whatever it costs, get the kid back. And that's where the extraction comes in. So I can't remember where they go. I can't remember what city it's in. Let's have a little look.
I don't think I have seen it, but no. I'll tell you why. I think because when it came out, it didn't have a high score.
No.
And I think what you were alluding to before is it sort of like found its level. So 6.7, it's saying now.
Yeah, it's 6.7.
I think it started quite low.
Yeah.
It's gone up to a half decent thing.
I mean, I say it's not a bad film. It's not a bad film, but I'll talk about that in a second. So they're in this city. I can't remember what city it is. I think it is in India. I'm not too sure. But basically the drug lord stops Chris Hemsworth's character and the son going out from the city, so basically blocks all the bridges, blocks all the ways of getting across the river and that sort of thing. So that's where the extraction bit comes in. He's got to get the son out, and it's about how he's going to do it, and so on. As I say, it's a by the numbers action thriller, action, you know, film. Hemsworth's very sort of moody in it. It reminds me a bit of John Wick in terms of, you know, he's got this past that he's sort of fighting against, but he's very good at his job. He's very good at killing people, and, you know, he does. It's very reminiscent of John Wick. Probably not done as stylishly as John Wick.
And the original would have been, what was Liam Neeson?
Yeah, Taken. A bit like Taken, yeah.
I think he's now, that film has spawned so many more, because I'm thinking of another one as well,
So yeah, I say Chris Hemsworth in it, and yeah, it's a by the numbers action film. It was good, it was enjoyable. The standout thing for me though, and it's directed by one of the Russos, or the writer, sorry, it's directed by Sam Hargrave, sorry, but one of the writers is Joe Russo and Andy Russo, the Russo brothers who've done Endgame and so on. But one of the standout bits for it is the car chase. So there's one bit where they jump into a car, the car drives off, and the camera is like going all the way around the car, it's going inside the car, and then it chases them, and then, but it's all done as one shot. Now, obviously there's a few cuts in there, but it looks as one shot, and it's a good 10 minutes at least chase scene, and, you know, it's following behind them, it's behind the heads, and then it goes round to the front, and then it chases them as they go to get another car, and then they jump from one van to another van, and all this sort of, but it's all this one shot, and it is really impressive, that bit. So there's a sequel coming out this next week, I think it is, in June, called, what's it called now? Extraction 2. And we're going to watch it, because the first one was quite good. Knowing there's a sequel does spoil the ending.
Right, because, so you've spoiled it for me now.
Well,
not to worry.
It does spoil the ending a bit, but, you know, you know. It's not spoiling it because in the trailer, but Chris Hemsworth in the second one, so there you go.
Yeah.
But But yeah, it's worth a watch. Not amazing. Not setting the world alight. I say that one car chase is really good. But yeah, it's a by the numbers action film. But speaking of John Wick, have you seen John Wick 4 yet?
Is that the one that's just come out?
Yeah.
No.
That, we went and seen that as well. And very, very good.
Right. It's Keanu. He can't do any wrong. Yeah. He literally can't do anything wrong, can he? Because he's brilliant.
He is. He is fantastic. And I won't say too much about that, but it's more of the, it's more of the same. More of the same. It's exactly what you want from a John Wick film. But yeah. Right, you got any more?
Yeah, one last one. I know we said something between 300 and 500. I want to do a rubbish one as well, though.
Four would be between 300 and 500.
It would. We started watching Ozark. Is it called Ozark?
Oh yeah.
So basically, this is it's written by Jason Bateman and stars Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
As Marty Bird and his wife Laura Linney, Wendy Bird, and they've got two kids. Don't need to mention the kids, but basically, he's a financial whiz. But he launders money. That's like what he does. We find out, it's nice because we get a little bit of a, not a prequel, but we get a prequel episode, if you like. How has he got into this situation? How has he ended up laundering money when he's clearly very, very talented at his normal legal job? So anyway, the very, very start, something goes wrong. There's three of them laundering money, and one of them skimming off the drugs baron, and two of them got killed. And this is no spoilers because the whole premise of the whole thing anyway. And he basically says, look, stop. Oh, and now I didn't know what Ozark was. Ozark Lake, it's a huge, big, massive summer vacation area lake thing. Right. And he basically says, look, every summer X million people come down here and they've just got money spent. He said, we can start selling drugs there. And he pleads for his life, basically. And the drugs guy says, well, basically, you show me what it's worth. I want you to clean 4 million for me in X, whatever number of months, but it's not a lot. So basically, then the family goes on the run. Not on the run, but they go there and they've got to clean 4 million somehow. And he gets there and it's like there's nothing there. He can't do anything to clean any of this money. So he starts figuring out ways, like there's a strip joint, and he says, right, well, we can rejuvenate this. We can do this, we can do that. Anything so we can put money into and get money out of, and then and fiddle the books, but not fiddle the books because it's still all looks legal, but it's like, well, where's the 12 air conditioning units that you actually paid? Show me them. But on paper, it's like it's all ticking the boxes. The strip owner doesn't want to know, so he figures out a way of, it's very clever, he figures out a way of trying to basically own the, I've got to stop saying basically, own the strip club. There's another one where it's a boatyard, and he figures out a way of improving the business there. A church that they've got a church on the lake. They don't actually have a church. The church in the metaphysical format. What?
So the building's rather there.
They don't have a building. The church being the congregation.
Oh right, no.
The congregation. They have the congregation on the lake, and they're all on boats.
Oh right.
So he says, right, well, we can build you a church, so we can put more money through that. And things go wrong and things go right, and he's got a family that he got involved in that he didn't want to get involved with, and how is he going to appease them? And then there's another story going on where there's somebody who's trying to sell drugs another way. I won't spoil anything, but he then annoyed them, and he's trying to please everyone, but he's also trying, at the same time, he's paying people off and he's losing this money, this 4 million. And how is he going to do it? And sometimes it's like, oh God, you're just thinking, you want it to work for him, you're rooting for him. And he gets quite hard-faced when people want to pull out of this business venture that he's got going, or the many business ventures. And yeah, he's a likeable bloke. The character, obviously, is a likeable bloke.
Yeah.
What he's doing is so wrong, but you're rooting for him and you want it to work for him.
The family is, of course, a little bit disjointed, as most families are, let's face it. But it's an interesting watch. We're sort of like, oh yeah, we'll go back and we'll watch another one. We'll go watch. You know, it's not like, oh no, I don't want to, or anything like that.
You want to see what's happening next?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good sign.
And is it still going? Let's have a quick nosy. So we're into about the second season. 8.5 on IMDb. It finished last year, 44 episodes in total. So yes, I quite like that. And of course the family have got to, the kids eventually find out because they level with the kids. But what I like is that there isn't story going on for the sake of story. So the kids might feature a little bit in, but mainly just from a family side of thing. So yes, we quite like that. Can I say one thing I don't like?
Go on.
Oh my God, trigger point. So in the first, the end of the first episode, it's okay. Basically, there was a bomb about to go off and they defused the bomb, but it's every single cliche under the sun. Every single one. So they find the bomb and it's like, oh no, it's like, I thought you meant to be a time served, I thought you meant to be an experienced bomb expert, and you've seen a bomb
and you
sort of panic. Yeah, it's like, what's going on? And they're following a wire. But it was like, I thought, I'm not watching another episode of this. When they said, okay, bomb's all cleared, yeah, have you checked all the vehicles? All of them apart from that white van over there, but we're letting everybody come back in anyway until we've got the, you know, we'll worry about that afterwards. And I just thought, oh my God, are you serious?
So what's the trigger point? Is this on
trigger points? It's one of the many things that's been heralded the next line of duty, written by written by the dog son's postman of line of duty or something like that. They're trying to get some sort of link to a decent film or TV series, and I hate it when they do that from the producers of.
Yeah.
It's got Vicky McClure, is it, in it? I've got a feeling it's got, I can see his face, he was Mickey in, what was it? It was the thing about the con men, which we started watching and I quite liked it and I stopped watching.
Hustle.
Mickey in.
And
it's just so annoying. I just thought, no, can't be doing with this.
Is this on BBC, is it? So is that what it...
I've got a feeling it. Is it ITV now?
Oh, right.
IMDb is not really telling us anymore about that. It just tells us if it's on Prime because they're linked up.
Yeah.
But that's my real turkey. And especially when somebody in school, I'm not going to mention any names, recommended it. And he said, that's dead good, that.
Yeah. Did you say it like that as well?
Yeah.
Dead good.
Yeah. That's it. So, Stephen, sorry, I didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. You got any turkeys?
I haven't got a turkey. I've got a really good one, though.
Go on. Well, let's finish on high.
I'm sorry. I know I said I was going to do one superhero one, but I forgot about this. So, on Amazon Prime, their own one they've made is Invincible.
Their own branch of superheroes?
Well,
like a DC?
It's based on an original comic book by Image Comics, which is an independent comic book company, which was quite big in the 90s. And Invincible, I've seen this for years, like this comic book, I've never ever read it and didn't know anything about it. But they've got an animated series on there, and it tells a story of, obviously, superheroes in a world. You've got Omni-Man, who is like, he's basically Superman. And he's come to the planet and he saves the planet, but he works on his own. And there's a bit of like a sort of Justice League-esque team. So, you know, there's a Wonder Woman, there's a really fast fella in it. And Omni-Man has a son, and Mark his name is, and he hasn't got any powers. But then when he becomes 16, becomes of age, he gets powers. And Omni-Man...
This is weird, this, because as you're talking...
You're watching the trailer.
The trailer is exactly where you're talking about. Yeah. So he's just starting to fly.
So he becomes the superhero known as Invincible. But, and this happens in the first episode. How far do I go? No, I'm going to say it right. So the first episode, it's all very by-the-numbers cartoony. You know, sort of... there's no swearing, the superheroes win, there's no blood and guts, it's all very sort of Saturday morning cartoon-esque, and the animation looks a bit like that. And then about 10 minutes before the end, so the Justice League-esque, I can't remember what they're called, but the team basically who saved the world, Omni-Man turns up and just basically destroys them and literally tears them limb from limb. You know, blood, guts, people get chopped in half, rips people's heads off. Omni-Man does it, and he's meant to be a good guy.
Yeah.
And so that's where the cliffhanger of the first episode drops. And so the series is talking about... It's twofold. It's one, what's Omni-Man playing at? What is the end game? And two, Invincible trying to become a decent superhero as well as being a teenage boy. But yeah, it's really good. But you know what's great is the voice cast. I don't think I'm getting on IMDb.
I just noticed. Well,
you've just seen a few on the
Mark
trailer.
Mark Hamill in it as well.
Yeah, loads. Mark Hamill. Yeah, there you go. So you got
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons plays Omni-Man.
Why is it he does cartoon characters, they always make it look like him when he was in Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's
always
got a
mustache.
So you got Stephen, is it Yeon, is it? Or
yep.
He's from The Walking Dead. Sandra Oh, who else sticks out? Yeah, Zachary Quinto.
Oh yeah,
is in it. You know, the voice cast is brilliant.
Gillian Jacobs from Community.
Yes, she's in it as well. I say Mark Hamill's in it. Seth Rogen is in it for a bit as well. So the voice cast is brilliant, and you know what? It's a really, really good adult animated superhero cartoon. It's really good. So I'm on the last episode, got one more episode, and I won't spoil it. But yeah, it's really good.
I mean, looking at some of that, it looked that like there were bits from The Boys.
Do you know what?
There was a bit there, as you were talking, where somebody just smashed through a load of people and they just went, the first episode of The Boys.
Yeah, it's very much like The Boys, whereas like The Boys is, you know, you've got, inverted commas, the Justice League, and what would happen if they were corporate, basically. This is very similar. What would happen if a superhero goes bad, basically, and... People die. People get killed.
The Superman equivalent in The Boys, we need to get
Homelander.
On with that. Homelander isn't exactly, he's not a decent person.
He's not a Boy Scout.
No.
So how much have you seen of The Boys?
I've got a feeling that we are a season behind, I think.
Yeah. Is he either 3 or 4, isn't he?
Yeah. And I'll know when we have a nosy, but I need to get back onto that.
Yeah.
That looks interesting.
That's definitely worth a watch. As I say, it's not for kids. I mean,
Invincible.
It's a 15, but there are blood and guts everywhere. There are effing and jeffing every 5 minutes after the first episode. Anyway.
Yeah.
Because I when I first watched it, I thought, it's just a very standard superhero cartoon. But I think they've done that on purpose because then it turns.
Yeah.
It turns on its head. Really good. So that's Invincible, and it's also based on a comic by the original writers of The Walking Dead. So Robert Kirkman, I think his name was. Yeah, there it is. He made The Walking Dead and he made this as well. So yeah. Recommended.
Good.
Right, are we done?
We better stop.
We'd be here all day, wouldn't we? But what do you think of our selections? Is there anything we've missed out? You know,
they don't know what we've been watching though, do they?
They do know, we just told them.
Oh right, okay.
I see how that sounds. Sorry. What I meant was anything important we haven't said about what we've talked about.
What film did I watch that I didn't mention?
And was it any good?
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Hidden Figures, well done.
Oh, Italian Job, you watched it the other day.
We watched the Italian, you know, it was nice because Claire just said, fancy watching the Italian Job? And it's like,
Yeah, it is.
Go for it.
I've got one in my pocket right now.
Well, we've got it on what do you call it now? Got it on Google Play, which is also on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
Which is nice. So but there we go.
That's it. Spot on. Well, thanks for listening, buddy. If you want to get in contact, we're on all socials, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. And if you want to email us, we're chatandflix@hotmail.com. I don't think I've checked it for about a year. So you might have been emailing us and it's like, I just haven't looked at it. So apologies. I'll have to check it, won't I? Saying that though, we haven't really recorded many episodes this year, so we're going to have to pull our finger out. But we will try and endeavour to get more episodes out. And our next episode, we haven't got a clue what it's going to be, but... The next film to see before we die.
I was thinking about that.
Is The Matrix. Good stuff. Right, take care everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.